am live. That's always good. Give me lots of time to know. Yes. Welcome to Grace Fellowship. And we're excited about what God's doing. We believe God has great plans in mind for us right now. And I've had some things stirring in me the last few days. Some of it really was coming up strong in me today. And I want you, I don't even know where we're going tonight in total. Of course, I've almost said this morning. I'm already into Sunday morning. That's what it is. I'm excited about where we're going. God has great things in mind for us. And so turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And of course, we just had a monumental election. And as I've tried to think, I really believe this election stands to be the most monumental event in my lifetime. This election, the importance of it is far greater than putting a man on the moon. Amen? Now, I know there's spiritual things that have taken place that are of more significance biblically, but I'm talking about a earthly activity or event. This election stands to determine the future of this nation, the outcome of it. Amen? We prayed and believe the Lord for a red tsunami. And I still believe this is going to be a Trump victory. Amen? In fact, I'm confessing right now that not only do we keep the presidency, we add to the Senate, and we take the House. That once the illicit votes are cast out, we actually take the House. Which, let's go for it. Amen? But based on all the unusual activities, I want to announce tomorrow night, Friday night, we're doing all-night prayer on a ministry-wide basis. You're invited. We're starting at 10 p.m. Feel free to bring a snack. We're praying over this election. And before service, before we got into this, I was making some notes of what we're going to do tomorrow night because it was just dropping in me. We're going to start off praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And then we're going to start decreeing some things. We're going to pray that God raise up His prayer warriors, His space force. Nothing's hidden. All illegal votes are discovered and disallowed now. We have peace through this, and there's no compromise with wickedness. I don't want the Senate laying, or, you know, the Republicans laying down again and saying, well, you know, that's the way it is. I'm ready to go to war over this. Amen. Spiritual war and whatever's necessary to protect the voting integrity of this nation. If not, this nation's finished. And so we're going to pray that tomorrow night, and then we're going to make these decrees. We're going to have a time of praise, and we're going to continue praying through January 20th, which is Inauguration Day. Monday through Thursday from 2 to 4 every day, Sunday nights at 6 to 8, and of course Friday nights either at 10 or 11, whatever we announce. Amen? So we invite you to those things. But are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 yet? This is what's been stirring in me. And what I'm about to say, I don't believe is a suggestion. I believe it's a thus saith the Lord. Say, thus saith the Lord. What does that mean? That means it's not what I, it means God didn't care what you say about it. Amen. Verse 17. For our light affliction, pressure, not pain, talking about pressure, discomfort, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Right now, every time you turn on the news media, every time you hear the radio saying something, it's all about how the Democrats have won all these states. How much of a, you know, miracle Trump needs to win in all this. I'm telling you right now, shut it off. Just shut it off. Before I came at her, I thought I'm going to check on a vote total in Arizona. I pulled it up, the sheet number, and it wouldn't even come up. And God said, I said, don't look at it. I said, okay. I mean, it was just a blank screen, white screen. Wouldn't come up. And I said, okay, I'm telling you. Those reports, just like the false polls, are meant to weaken your faith. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing what God said, not what the TV set says. Turn off even Fox News. Turn off anything that's not positive right now, because we've got to get our faith at the highest levels. And listen, I was watching a Sid Roth special broadcast with Tracy Cook and Kevin Zadai, yeah, where they were talking about how Trump has won, but the enemy will try to steal it. And Tracy Cook was very adamant about that. It's up to the church, not God, to put a stop to it. That what we decree, God will do. Now, I believe we've already decreed and we have the victory. But I want to keep my foot on the devil's neck. That's why we're going to keep praying all the way through January 20th and maybe on. Amen. I'd like to become like the Moravian saints who prayed 24-7 for over 100 years. They had prayer warriors praying 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for over 100 years. And they changed the face of the earth. I want to raise up a church of intercessors like that. Amen. I want to see God have a nation of intercessors. In fact, yesterday we were here praying in the afternoon, and I'd prayed for an hour or so standing up here. Maybe I wasn't here that long. And I went to the couch. And when I sat on the couch, all of a sudden I started seeing, not a vision, but in my spirit. Like I was looking across the sanctuary, and I saw like waves of red wheat, some type of crop. I couldn't tell it was wheat for sure, but waves and waves. And God said, I'm raising up my spiritual prayer forces right now. I'm basically, the prophecy we were giving earlier is, I am causing my troops to come to attention, get in order. They're ready to move now. And I really believe God's doing that with us. And so, turn those false inputs off. Don't look at them. Don't check them on the internet. Shut it off until you hear Trump has won. And instead, fill yourself with prophecies. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Decree what God has spoken. Stand on the Word. Stand that He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen? That why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Right? He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. We left out a verse, but you get the understanding of that. God's laughing. We should be laughing right now. That's why tomorrow night at prayer is going to be a celebration time. And so we've already had I've had a few things that God's spoken to me and what I've heard on the prophecies. But we've already had a couple words come to this church today. So Wayne, come up here. I want you to share what God spoke to you today in prayer. Wayne had an encounter with God today at prayer. We met from 2 to 4, as we're doing Monday through Thursday. And when Wayne and Tammy came out, Wayne was virtually shaking under the power of God. And he said, God has spoken to him. So, I want you guys to hear this.
Hey, everybody. Today when we were, the wife and I, we were supposed to go to my son's birthday, but somebody got the day wrong. It's tomorrow. Magellan is Magellan. So we were on our way back, and I had things to do just like you guys do. And Tammy says, well, I'm going to drop you off by the house, and then I'm going to go to prayer. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking, man, I'm just being honest. I said, I hardly ever go to prayer, and that's a fault of mine. I said, I'm going to go with you, Sugar Babe. And
who was Sugar Babe?
That's you, baby.
No. Yeah, that was on me.
That's the Secretary of War and Finance. So to back up a little bit, the other night, election night, Kenneth Copeland on his channel, he had a Christian following of the election results. So I stayed up as long as I could, and there was Pat Robinson and James Robinson, Hank Kuhneman and his wife, and so on and so forth, and what they were saying. And then I've also been listening to Tracy Cook. I love Tracy Cook. I think he is so in touch with things. And so when I went to bed that night, what I do normally is I get my cell phone and I go to the Bible audio book. and it has like everything you can imagine. You can listen to the whole Bible from start to finish, or you can pick chapters and books out. So I started, I thought, this glory dipping. I thought, I'll just go with Isaiah. So I started listening a little bit of Isaiah, and I don't know, it just wasn't my thing. I mean, I'm going, I'm not really pulling anything. So I get on there, and it says Exodus. I thought, okay, Exodus is cool. So I'm listening to that, and I was listening to a little bit about the Exodus thing and how, you know, God and Moses and so forth, and the interaction that Moses had with God. And I thought, wow, that is just, you know, really awesome. And today, when we was having prayer, we had the praise music going. I had my Bible, and I was thinking, you know, I need to get into this, you know. And I thought, well, something just told me to go back to Exodus, and I started reading that. And I got to the point that I was reading that, and I was still praying, excuse me, you know, for President Trump, you know, and, you know, we prayed Psalms 91 over him and so on and so forth today. And I got to thinking how important this is, not just to the American people, but to, you know, the Israelites and so on and so forth, because Mr. Trump is really got a rapport with the world that, you know, he might be a little rough, but he's the guy, you know what I'm saying? And so I started, you know, praying about that. And it just, all of a sudden, God started talking to me. I said, Lord, what's going on? I mean, I'm a simple man. I talk plain. And, you know, and he says, you know, he said, just like I showed Pharaoh who God was.
Now, hang on one second. This wasn't just an impression you had.
Oh, no.
This wasn't like you normally would hear in prayer, you know, and you didn't take out the trash or, you know, go kiss your wife.
No.
Describe what happened with this whole thing, because that was what was significant.
It was just like being taken away kind of thing. I mean, I'm sitting back there, and it's just like all of a sudden I didn't hear Phil Driscoll anymore. It was just me and the big boss man. I mean, we were talking, and it wasn't in an audible voice, but he was talking to me. And
it's like you're plugged into another channel.
Absolutely. I mean, there was nothing else mattered.
Because I know what it's like, and I just want people to get this wasn't normal.
Nothing else, yeah.
How many times have you heard like this before in your life?
Very few times.
Yeah.
And that's you know, and it's very humbling, because it's such an honor to hear from God like that, I feel, you know. And I think of where I came from in life and how he's working with me, and it's just such an honor. But I could just, everything else was tuned out. And I was saying, you know, Lord, what's going on, you know? And he told me, he says, I'm going to show the world. He said, I showed Pharaoh. And he said, I'm still in charge. And he said, and I'm going to show the world. He said, just like Moses was my man back then. You know, he was, you know, Moses said that he was faltering of lip or whatever. He said, it doesn't matter how you talk. He said, when I'm here, and I'm with you, he said, you know, Mr. Trump is my man, just like Moses was my man back at that time. And he says, don't pay any attention to what you hear or see, because I'm still in control. And I said, really, God? He said, watch what I do. And I said, is that it? He goes, that's it. I said, Lord, I said, you know, I really want this not to be me, you know. I want this to be you through me. And I said, because if this is real, I want to share this. He says, share it. He said, I said, is that it? He said, that's it. I said, okay. And I mean, it's just amazing. And I'm just so thankful that, and this was not no, I think it was, I'm telling you, this was like, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It's like I wasn't here. You know, I didn't, like I said, I mean, we just listened to Phil Driscoll and so on. I didn't hear him no more. And I love Phil Driscoll, but I didn't hear him no more. All I heard was God speaking to my inner man, telling me that he is still in charge, and don't pay any attention to this stuff. You know, Tracy Cook made a prophecy about how there were seven angels with seven swords, and there was a message on each one of those swords, and they all had to do with Mr. Trump still being in control. And I believe that. And, you know, It's just like that song, you know, the God of Angel Armies. Man, is that not real? I mean, that's kicking. And so, I mean, I don't know how else to word that, but, you know, I'll just leave it at kicking. But the fact that what impressed me so much was that, you know, I was trying to find something to get in tune with him. And he led me to read that verse, those verses in Exodus, you know, where Pharaoh took the straw away and still had to make the bricks. And, you know, and Moses said, well, he's not going to listen to me. And he said, he'll listen to you, but he's not going to pay any attention because I'm going to harden his heart, because God had to deal with him. And I think what we're going to find out is it ain't our place. Now, it's real easy, like after this is over and Mr. Trump is still president, to, you know, because I've got some friends that, I'll be honest with you, my first inclination was go, hi, what about that? How you like me now? But that's not the right thing to do. It's not right to gloat over this victory, because God is one that's going to get all the praise and glory for this. And so, I tell you, if you've got friends that are Democratic, and, you know, please don't go and rub it in their face, you know, when God shows his power, because they're going to sense that on their own. He don't need our help. You know, he don't need our help with that. But, you know, I just was so amazed and taken away. It was just like, I don't even know how long it was. And that is so rare for me. And it's, and I just thank God for him giving that to me. Cause, I mean, that doesn't happen very often, but it's so humbling. I mean, I could feel the hair on my back standing up, you know, I mean,
let me touch on this Red Sea thing. First of all, Tammy, I recommend you tell all of Wayne's friends that are pro-Trump to be sure and watch this message to hear him preach. Amen. There's a bunch of ministers and intercessors that are talking. God's shown them that there's a Red Sea moment about to take place. And really what had happened when... You can sit down. That's how I get the mic from you. Amen. There'll be an offering taken at the end of service for Pastor Wayne. Good job. And hallelujah. A Red Sea moment. Pharaoh had gone through 10 plagues. The firstborn had all been killed. He was defeated. Yet after the defeat, he still thought he could win. He'd already recognized he was beat. They actually spoiled the entire nation. Israel demanded their goods. Then he had a second thought. I still think I can beat them. And what happened is that effort to try to still take over Israel cost him his entire army. They tried to follow across the Red Sea, and of course they were flooded and killed. And I really believe what's going on with this election is the Red Sea moment. That, you know, they've been exposing wickedness all along, but now we're seeing it even embedded in the election process, how willing they are to cheat. Now, some would say, well, I just think it'd be really too hard and there are too many people to do that level of cheating. Do you understand how many people will go to prison if Trump is reelected with the indictments they're ready to release from all the corruption going on in the government, including Hunter Biden and that whole thing? All the Epstein, you know, island visitors. They've got to stop him. They've got to give it their best effort. And now they've gone all in with all that they have. And so I'm believing for that all it is an effort or opportunity for God virtually to destroy that system, that dishonest system. So we had a Red Sea moment. We have a Red Sea moment right now in the making. The key is stay in faith. I really believe it's important we decree victory all the way through this. And if we start looking at the world's media sources, it'll tamper with your expectation and your faith. I've ever since the election, I was up till 4 in the morning, election night, and I've not watched the news since it. And if it's on, I leave the room. I can't expose myself to that right now. I've got to keep my focus on what God has said. And so, I'm so thrilled we have a president who's a warrior. Because had this been a McCain or a Romney, they'd have rolled over and said, well, I guess I lost. But we have a president that doesn't like to lose. Amen. And he will fight with everything he's got. So one of my prayers is that we do not compromise with half-hearted, you know, people have 1 foot in the swamp and 1 foot out. And so it's time to win. But also at the beginning of service night, well, after praise and worship, Pastor Nancy had a prophecy come to her. Now, she hadn't read my board. She hadn't heard Wayne's testimony, anything about it. Hadn't heard what I got about seeing the red waves, you know, of grain. God's raising up his army to, you know, to order. And Pastor Rebecca, you have that ready to go? We're going to play for you on audio this prophecy Pastor Nancy gave right after praise and worship tonight. So go ahead.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. As we were worshiping, I began to hear the Lord speak, and he was speaking in a very firm and strong voice. He was speaking in the voice that when you hear it, your only answer is, yes, sir. I heard the Lord saying, snap to attention this evening and speak what I give you to speak. The Lord says, I have heard the sound of the voices that have been lifted up to me in prayer, and I have registered and counted your votes for righteousness. For that is what this battle has been about. And as you have lifted up your voice and as you have cried out to me and you have gone to the poll and taken the prophetic action of voting for that which is of my kingdom, that which is of my way, that which I desire, know that I have registered it and I hold those votes. And there is nothing that can compromise those. There is nothing that can change that. For I have heard and I have responded and I will continue to move on your behalf. Fear not, for I am moving. I am moving on your behalf. Keep your voices lifted and decree the victory, looking not at the lying evidence that is put in front of your eyes. As loud as the decree of the enemy is, even louder will your voice of praises be. Be not moved by the lying voices. I am not. Stand. Speak, proclaim, decree, and rejoice, for I am with you. And the Lord said, the dry bones will respond to the power that is released through your voice. Fear not for the things that look like they have already occurred. Fear not for the things that look like it's too late to turn around and change. For the Lord says, I hold time in my hands. If need be, I could set the sun back. Fear not. Rise up, decree, proclaim, and rejoice, and keep your eyes on me, for I have heard the sound of the cries for righteousness, and I am responding, says the Lord.
Praise God. Now, see, she knew nothing about what I'd seen, what God gave me to talk about tonight, not looking at the news, look only at the Word. Didn't know about Wayne's word, yet it all's folding together, along with the other people that are prophesying right now and talking about what's going on. And so my recommendation right now is, and again, this is a thus saith the Lord, double up on your word right now. Read scriptures that deal with victory. Focus on what God has said. Pray like you've never prayed before. I'm not talking about desperate prayer. I'm talking about decreeing, demanding, declaring who we are in Christ, and speak forth the word of God, because it's time for us to rise up and be that army that God's raising up. Amen. As well, I recommend anybody that can be tomorrow night, be at prayer tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Try to be here, and because one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000, and a whole group will save a nation. And God's raising up prayer people all over the nation right now. And it's time to be about the Father's business. Amen. This is not playtime. And so, what an exciting time to be on God's side. Now, after the Red Sea, again, I said I didn't know where tonight's message was going, and we're about to change directions again. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now, after Israel came out of Egypt, you know, because of unbelief, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, right? Well, right before they were to go in and possess the promised land, after 40 years and a whole generation had died off, God spoke to Moses again. And, of course, he spoke to him in between, but I mean, and Moses penned the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. And so here we have God's last commandments the month before they went in to possess the promised land. God reiterating his assignment for them to take this ground. And I want to read some verses out of chapter 7 because I believe they really parallel what God intends to do in America in these end times. It says in verse 1, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and all the Ite brothers," down to the bottom of the verse, "seven nations greater and mightier than thee." Don't look at whether the task looks impossible. If it was possible and doable for man, we wouldn't need prayer. We wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. We'd do it ourselves. This is a victory that only God can win. "Unless the Lord build the house, they that build labor in vain. Unless the Lord guard the city, the watchman watch but in vain." This is a job for God. And we're doing our part by praying. Again, I mentioned it Sunday morning. I've never been in a prayer service quite like the one I was in last Friday night. I've never seen a shift in the anointing like I saw when God said, "You did it, you finished it." And I want to remind you that Kentucky was a clean sweep. Amen. For righteousness. Verse 2, "And when the Lord God shall deliver them before thee," God's going to deliver them, it wasn't a doubt. They haven't even crossed Jordan yet. They're still looking at Jericho across the river. Can you imagine being little Israel? Now, there were many of them, understand, but they're a small force. Don't even have chariots. Looking across the Jordan at Jericho, the most fortified city possibly in the world. And God's going to need you to take that first. God's the one fighting our battles. It says, "Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them." That would be like draining the swamp totally, changing the miracle political system to cause the wicked to go into hiding for 100 years. Of course, I don't think we have 100 years left on earth. "Thou shalt make no covenant with them," no compromise, no covenant, no agreements with wickedness, "nor show mercy unto them." Go on down to verse 5. "But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people." God's calling his people to holiness right now. "For the Lord thy God hath chosen thee." Say, he's chosen me. Do you understand Israel was a type of the church? Now, Israel is Israel. There's prophecies dealing with Israel, but it was actually a representation of what God was going to do with the church. Amen. His end time covenant people. He says, "The Lord God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." That's the church. "The Lord God did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath, the covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." That was 40 years before. Now they're looking at whole new generations, looking at another set of obstacles that seem impossible. But God's reminding them what he did in the past. And if he did it before, he's going to do it again. There's too many shalls in the Bible about the church for us to fold now. Amen. He's coming back for a glorious bride. Not when it's quit, whipped, and you know can't stand anymore. Go down to verse number Well, let's go to verse 15. Well, verse 14. And thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, including COVID, which thou knowest not, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. There's about to become an inversion of sickness in the world. Because what God promised Israel, we have a better covenant with better promises. This is also part of our covenant. We have everything Israel had plus. Verse 16, and thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. He didn't say assimilate with them. He said destroy them. God intends to deal with this swamp system. Do we hate people? No, we don't hate the people, but we hate the system. Amen? If they want to connect to the system, they're making wrong choices as far as God's concerned. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. And he goes on down through that. Now look at verse 20. I've been talking about this verse. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. See, God's sending in hornets right now that are causing the wicked to fully demonstrate who they are. They're spending every shell they have politically with the media, with the education systems, with the government systems, with the whole world. They're showing who they are so they can be uprooted and dealt with. Amen. I don't know how God's going to do it, but there's about to become a major shift. America will never be the same again. I told Patty Tuesday night, this nation will never be the same after tonight. It will never be the same because there's going to be, of course, if the wicked were to win, we know America is finished as far as we're... Now, we won the Senate, hopefully, unless more cheating continues. And we'll keep the Senate, and that would act as a stopgap for many things, including the Supreme Court. We have that right now. But if they have their way, America would never be the same. And there would never be another Donald Trump ever able to rise up. But I believe righteousness will triumph. And a nation will still never be the same. Because there's going to become a great purging in this nation, demanding shifts in the way things are accomplished. This nation itself is woke to the intents of the wicked. The devil's shown his hand. And now God's sending, and I call them the holy hornets, to disrupt and expose all that they're doing. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. God said, I'm putting them out. Now, in our case, in our nation, it's not nations. He's putting out politicians and professors and media leaders, right? You shall not consume them all at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and thou shalt destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into your hand. I'm ready for the kings of this thing. They're leading this whole nonsense to be exposed. See, here's what's happened. Here's what's happened. Because the election has been tampered with. Had it stopped Tuesday night, it was a 150-point win for Donald Trump Tuesday night. He was like close to 340 electoral votes. But when you got it Wednesday morning, it has shifted. Had it stopped Tuesday night, it would have been such a monumental victory. People would have said, we have to accept the results. To some level, you know, there'd still be some people upset. But now that it's this close, no matter who wins, there's going to be the other side claiming they were cheated. Amen. And I believe this was all orchestrated to cause disruption in America no matter what happens. There's going to be disruption no matter what happens. And unless God moves, there will be many, many lives lost. Because it's not going to be a peaceful transition. Amen. Not without a move of God. So God here is promising He's going to deal with these kings that rise up against Israel. Well, listen. Israel didn't have the born-again experience. They didn't have the infilling of the Spirit. They weren't able to pray in the Spirit like we do. Didn't have the new covenant we have. Amen. Weren't given the authority of the believer we possess. The ability to decree victory. And yet God said you would have victory. How much more should we believe that God's giving us the victory? And quit and refuse to look at the seen, but choose to only look at the unseen. Look at what God has said, what He's promised. Amen. You can recognize right now, those watching the news, I'm talking about from either side, you can follow, you can know the ones watching the news versus those that are listening to what God is saying. Because the one watching the news, got to check it every 5 minutes. What's happening now? Where are they cheating now? Are distressed. They're frustrated. They're upset because, hey, I was feeling it. And I said, I got to stop this. This isn't God. God gave you these emotions to know what's going on in the spirit. And if you feel disrupted inside and you're upset and hurt and fearful, that's not God. Shut those inputs off and speak the word. Because no matter what happens, God's coming back for a glorious bride. Amen. And no matter what happens, no matter what chaos happens. See, I'm telling you, I saw that vision years ago of the motorboat going up the side of the sanctuary on the river. Saw a river. And this motorboat was packed full of revivalists having the biggest party of their lives, just celebrating. And they've never known joy like they had at that moment. But as I looked behind the boat, the entire earth was opening up and swallowing everything on the banks, swallowing the river. Foam was flying up 100 feet in the air. Total destruction. And God said, great destruction is coming, but my people will be protected on the boat. I don't know the mechanics of all that happening, but I knew no matter what happens, God's got our backs. We have a covenant with the Creator of the universe. I'm so glad I'm on God's side. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And again, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hard to rejoice when all you're looking at is the negative. When you're looking at the world's report. Now, we used to sing a song, whose report will you believe? You guys remember that song? Whose report will you believe? For I will believe the report of the Lord. Did you know that's a faith song? But yet, you can't believe, in other words, exercise faith in the report of the Lord if you're only watching inputs from other sources. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. The only way you will believe in the report of the Lord and rejoice in it is if that's what you're looking at. And here's what's happening. Too many Christians right now are watching 8 hours of media propaganda. That's the word I wanted. A day, and are in the Bible 15 minutes. Hard to believe the report of the Lord like that. I'm telling you right now, you don't need 8 hours of Word a day, but you need 8 hours a day of thinking about what God has said and shutting off the other inputs, and you can do that 15 minutes a day. I can get on Breitbart News on my iPad in the morning and see, has Trump been declared winner yet? If I don't see the headline coming up first, I shut it off. Because I don't want all those other inputs right now. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now go down to verse number 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, I used to preach this like, I'm from Tennessee, but God moved me to Kentucky, and even though I'm in the wrong state, I'm still content. Just for fun. But I don't say that anymore. I'm content no matter what happens. I'm content no matter who wins an election or who loses. Amen. I'm more joyous knowing I don't have to go through certain battles. Do you follow me? Personally, I don't know about you, but I would have laid down my life for this election. Far more important than just me. Amen. Because the future of the nation is at stake. But regardless, I'm content. And I'm rejoicing. And I choose to keep my focus on God, not on politics. And let my focus on God change politics. Not let politics change my focus on God. Amen. There are a whole lot of people right now mad at God. On both sides. Because both sides were promised a big win. Amen. Expected one. And yet here we are. People are saying, but God, I was really trusting you. Why change? The word hadn't changed. Amen. This is a there's still time on the clock. Amen. We cannot be defeated and we will not quit, right? James chapter 5. Again, prayer tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Anybody that can make it should try to be here. I'm not taking names, so don't worry. But pray and see if God would have you here. I know God will be here. Last week, my goodness. James chapter 5, are you there? Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? That can be sickness, it can be pressure, it can be anxiety, it can be any type of oppression of the enemy. Let him pray. Hey, right there, pray. Isn't he merry? Let him sing songs. Right? I'm going to do that as well. Isn't he sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Look at this. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith will change everything. A prayer uttered believing what God has said, believing the word, believing what God has promised, will cause even the impossible to come to pass. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. See, again, we set our hearts to pray, God will just set aside any concern about our sins. The mistakes you've made, you know, where you haven't prayed in the past, haven't sought God like you did in the past, you're praying now, God said, that's all behind you. Let's go toward this victory. Time we be kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused, kingdom-centered. Verse 16, confess your faults or errors one to another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now in here, we understand that we've been made new creations in Christ. We're no longer sinners, we're now saints, and we've been made the righteousness of God in Him. Right? Once born again, you are made in the very image and nature of God. And God says that prayer of a righteous man will avail much. Our key to victory right now is prayer. Don't stop. Press in harder. Amen. I have something in movies that makes me mad. Makes me mad every time. Not angry, rage mad, but frustrated. Where the good guy kills the bad guy, and you know he's not dead yet. Or he knocks him out, you know, knocks him out. And I'm thinking, put one in it, two in the head. Two in the chest, one in the head. Finish him. And he doesn't, you know. Kicks the gun away and goes on. And that guy always rises up again to cause trouble. Finish him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The guy, you could have killed him when you had a chance. Now you got to deal with him again. Or whether, you know, they get to the fight. You know, they get in the fight and the bad guy pulls out a knife and the good guy's got a gun. So the good guy puts his gun down and pulls out a knife. No! Put one between his eyes. Amen. Lock and load. Come on now. Anyway. I want to crush wickedness. Not people. I want to crush the devil. I want him under my feet. Amen. God said he'd stay in heaven till the devil was under his feet. Well, we are the feet. We're the body of Christ. And it's time to snuff this thing out. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Don't stop part way. Remember where the prophet told the king, take the arrows and smite them on the ground. And when you smite the arrows on the ground, that will represent you consuming the king of Syria. Amen. And he half-heartedly smacked him. We can kind of read that three times on the ground. And the prophet was angry, saying, you fool, basically. You should have hit him, you know, six or seven times. Then you would have consumed his kingdom. But you just did it three. Now you'll only win three battles. Man, if I knew that was the way it operated, I'd bust them arrows to pieces, hitting them on the ground. They'd be feathers everywhere. How long have I been? 12 hours? Just keep going. I want to win for God. I want the kingdom to prevail. So look at what he says, verse 17, Elias. Now that's Elijah who is who it is. Remember Elijah? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a man. And he prayed. See where it says earnestly? And the Greek is really just as a prayer. He prayed a prayer. He prayed a prayer that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. 3.5 years, which understand is the same period as the Great Tribulation. Amen? There's a tribulation and a great tribulation. Each one is 3.5 years. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. That's the authority we've been given in prayer. And we want to play around with it like it's nothing. This is our victory. Amen. Well, God didn't call me to be an intercessor. I've never heard him tell me I was an intercessor. I just heard him say in the Word. I saw it in the Word. I need my people to pray to exercise their authority to see victory. Okay, let's do that. Do you understand? People are waiting. Well, I got to hear God tell me an intercessor where I can pray. No. Are you a Christian? Yes. Pray. Authority is no different across the board in Christianity. Now, you can develop more authority. You follow me? But we've all been given the same right to speak the word and put the devil under our feet. God's raising up a prayer army, I'm telling you. I really think maybe we've done the disservice to the church a little bit by addressing people as intercessors. Because it almost became a special group in the church. You know, that they're the intercessors. I think the church should be the intercessors. Now, some people are sold out to it and called to it, you know, at a much higher level. I understand that. Have the time for it, whatever the reason might be. But we're all called to intercede. Amen. And he prayed again, verse 18, and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. Oh, glory to God. We have the power to shut up and even release the heavens. It's our time. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Now, this is the passage where Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Of course, they were guessing. But Peter heard from God. And in chapter 16, verse 17, well, verse 16, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had a revelation of Jesus. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The ability to receive revelation from God. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I don't have time to go through this tonight, but first of all, the rock is talking about building on his ability to hear from God. Peter wasn't the rock. God's not building the church on Peter. He's building on the ability to hear God. We heard Wayne share about how he heard God tonight. Well, he brought forth a word from heaven we can build upon. Pastor Nancy's prophecy was a word we can build upon, the ability to hear from heaven. Amen. But then he says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now again, I've been saved quite a while, and I read that verse many years, didn't know what the gates of hell were. I try to imagine it. Hell's got a wall around with a bunch of gates. And we're going to bust through those gates, take back everything the devil stole. Originally, I thought we had the gates and the devil's busting through ours. We had this defeat mentality. Then we realized we're taking back things from the devil, and I could see it. He's got gates we're busting through. What we found out recently is in every nation, there are 7 mind-molding mountains. 7 mountains. The government. See if I can remember these. Family. Church. Financial system. Education. The arts and entertainment. And the media. And this was given to several different men and women of God in visions. In fact, Michael Cross from Georgia, a Georgia state senator later, had died on the operating table, was caught up to heaven, and God showed him this. Jesus showed him this. That there were 7 mind-molding mountains in every nation and in the world. That who controls these mountains, whoever controls these different structures in a nation, controls the people. That if you control those 7 mountaintops, you can control what happens in a nation. And what we've discovered is, to get to the tops of these mountains, to have any authority in the world, there's gates. For example, in Hollywood, to advance in Hollywood, there used to be the casting couch. Jimmy Stewart wrote, there was actually, they built a Bordeaux outside the Hollywood studios and almost required the men to go through them because they needed them to compromise their morality to be qualified to be promoted in Hollywood. I believe there's similar things about visiting Epstein Island to be promoted in government. There's compromises necessary. They want you to sell out to the devil to be qualified to move up here, and you have to demonstrate it. In fact, President Trump at one time was at the top of 2 of these mountains. He was at the top of the finance mountain and entertainment mountain. Amen. With what was the name of the show? You're Fired? What's that? The Apprentice. He moved to the top of 2 different mountains. But we know in the past he compromised his morality in many areas. But since then, he's been born again. And at the top of these mountains, he has an experience with God, gets converted, and moves to the top of the government mountain. That's an act of God. And God didn't bring us as far to take us back again. He says, Jesus said, on the rock of revelation, on the rock of hearing from God, I'm going to cause you to virtually tear off the gates of hell. The gates of hell will not prevail. They'll not hold you back. And God, I believe in what's taking place right now, is about to take these gates out of the way and win these seven mountains for righteousness in this nation. And it'll ripple effect through the world. That's why we're seeing happen what's happening. God's not, the multitudes can sit down here and argue among themselves what's best, all they want. But until you take these seven mountains, nothing changes in a nation of any major level. Amen. And through President Trump, we now possess the Supreme Court. He's appointed so many hundreds of federal judges across the nation that Obama left empty because he was sure Hillary was going to win. And now we're starting to feel higher levels of this mountain with God's people. But guess what? God intends to totally drain the swamp and fill this back with His own people. Are you getting anything out of this? And as we do so, we're going to take back every one of these mountains. I'm ready for the Media Mountain to be totally torn down and built up in righteousness. We can really hear the news. I've wondered about this. I've wondered, how will future generations judge what happened in our time when none of the news outlets are telling the truth and people are rewriting the textbooks and everything? How will they judge American history once it's been rewritten? That's got to come to a stop. But it comes to a stop as we hear from God and we decree what He has said. Now look what He goes on to say. Are you still with me? He says, verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Those are the spiritual principles. It's not an actual set of keys. There are spiritual principles that enable us to win. Faith is a spiritual principle. The power of our words is a spiritual principle. Sowing and reaping, spiritual principles. And God says you can activate these spiritual principles and you can win. And He says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He says, and here's one of the primary keys. The power I've given man, the authority I've given the believer to speak and watch heaven back it up. We heard on the prophecy tonight, God said, "I've heard the decrees of my people. I'm going to move," but we're not stopping decreeing. Well, God said He heard. We can stop now. We will never stop speaking God's word, advancing further. God said, that's the key of the kingdom. Through it, you're going to take the gates of hell off their hinges. Look at chapter 18. The ability to bind and to loose. Chapter 18, Jesus repeats it again in verse 18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." God said if two of you shall agree, He'll do it. This is the authority and power we have. It's time to speak. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." One more verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse number 17, "Pray without ceasing." How do you that pray in the Spirit? Pray wherever you're at. Pray under your breath. I was watching again the Sid Roth program today, and Kevin Zadai made this statement. He says, I'm praying in the Spirit right now, but you can't hear it. You can pray in the Spirit in your mind if you need to. I'm praying where you can't hear it right now, and God's speaking to me right now as I'm praying in the Spirit. That's how you pray without ceasing. You can pray on your job in the Spirit. Just keep a mind of God's favor. Then he goes on and he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I exercise. This is a side note. Nobody may care. But I've been working on these pinball machines. Not a lot, but usually late at night I'll go out and work on a pinball machine. Many nights. And I had a pinball machine I'd bought that had they're called the mixers. There's a set of cams, gear, all these pieces on this big, they call it an axle, that spins different things and all this stuff. It's the computer on a old pinball machine for these gambling pinball machines. And the cams were wobbling everywhere, and I knew the shaft was bent. And I read about them, and they said, of all pinball machines ever built, this is the most complex piece on any pinball machine ever built, ever. These mixers on them. They said, it's not for the faint of heart to tear one of these apart, because you get one little spacer in the wrong place, it won't work. It won't work right. And I thought, I can either throw the machine away, gut it, throw it away, but it's a nice machine, or I can try to tackle this. And last night, I went to attack these mixers. Wish I had the video up there, I could have shown you. These things were going like this. And I got me some paper out, started making notes, took a few pictures, and I got my tape mask. I labeled every piece. I'd take it off and label it where it went. Wrote it on two sheets of paper, all these pictures. Took it totally apart, but before I did, I said, God, I need help with this. I'm calling on your help with this right now. I don't forget anything, leave anything out, don't mess anything up. It's all in place. And don't lose any parts, because they're talking about don't drop a piece. You may never find it, you know. And I took it all apart, put it in about 8 baggies, everything labeled, my drawings. And the shaft, it had a bow in it. I don't know, maybe close to 1/4 inch. Bow in the shaft, this axle. So I put in my vise, I straightened it out. Got it straightened out. I don't know how it got bent, because these cams are plastic. I don't know how you didn't break the cams to pieces bending the shaft, but somehow it bent. And I started putting it together. I put it together this morning, early this morning. I said, God, help me do this. And everything slid back into position like an angel was putting it in. I mean, they're talking about all these problems you can have. I'd say I had the whole thing together in 20 minutes. It just slipped right in, put it in, and worked perfectly. No wobbling anymore. In fact, I'd labeled every piece except these big discs, and I forgot to label them. And that's one of the things, if you forget to label those pieces, you're pretty much in trouble. Because you get it mixed up, it's not going to work. And I forgot to label them. 3 discs. There's 4 of them, I forgot to label 3 of them. And I looked, and somebody had already written with a Sharpie in the past which ones they were. Only piece on there labeled, and those were labeled. Thank you, Jesus. Put it together, fix the machine. Machine's going to be great. And the power of just God partnering with you. So that's a small thing, but I just tore down and put back together in record time the most complex piece of equipment ever put in a pinball machine. And it thrilled me, but I knew I needed God on it. How much more is He going to give us victory on the big things? Amen. Pastor Rebecca, you got anything to add tonight? Pastor Nancy? Thank you, Jesus. Trust you'll hear God like Wayne did. Pastor Wayne, amen. Prophesy. Father, I thank you in this church. There are none sick. Again, I want to remind you, tomorrow night, prayer at 10 p.m. Bring a snack. You're all invited. If you want to pray for victory for the kingdom of heaven tomorrow night, I declare there's no sickness, no pain, no injuries. I thank you, Father, there's no COVID-19 can settle on a single person in this church in Jesus' name. There's no oppression, no anxiety, no fear of the election results. We have peace. We have the peace that passes knowledge in Jesus' name. We have the peace we had last Friday night. All through the days, we don't lose it. We don't surrender it to the news media. No fear, no suicide, no anxiousness, no anger, hate, vengeance-mindedness is allowed to settle within us. As well, Father, there's no lack of anything. We have lack in no areas. And in this church, there's no division. No strife, no undercutting, no competition, no competitive mindsets. All working together as members of the body of Christ, upholding one another. We thank you, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name, so be it. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you.